If you're just joining us, we're exploring the educational benefits of taking in live theater or performing in plays. It's a conversation about the arts here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So one example is Hamilton, winner of 11 Tony Awards. It's credited with sparking kids' interest in history. The Hamilton Education Program reaches 250,000 kids nationwide, and it runs through 2020. Here is President Thomas Jefferson, who is an antagonist in Act Two.
So what did I miss? What did I miss? Virginia, my home sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
Yes. Are you a drama teacher? Do you take your students to see theater productions? How does that influence learning? Do you not appreciate live theater? What turns you off to the experience? We're at 800-642-1234. And Shanahan is chair of the Department of Theater at Purdue University and associate professor of theater, where she teaches acting, directing, dramaturgy, and gender studies. And welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really pleased to be here.
And you teach students from all walks of life about theater, majors, non-majors. What do we know today about what seeing live theater can do to us from an educational standpoint?
Well, one of the things I love about teaching theater, both to students who have chosen it as a field to pursue as a major or a minor, and students who are doing it for interest or to fulfill a credit in a core curriculum or a general education course, is that we really get to see the power of the art form to inspire learning and to inspire connections between human beings, to inspire engagement in our lives, in our civic discourse. So teaching in those various venues to those various students really gives you insight into the unique power of it. I think that what theater has to offer as a way of study is that it's uniquely embodied. So similar to dance, we're bringing our bodies to the equation. Unlike fields of study that are more pursued intellectually, more traditionally through, as we would say, book learning or traditional classroom settings, theater allows us to engage with a variety of subjects with our whole selves, including our bodies and all that that brings to the table in terms of emotion.
So whether you're in the audience or you have a role on stage, there's this sort of human-to-human connection going on?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the audience, because in addition to the embodied feature of theater practice, it's also communal. And that's what's, I think, uniquely powerful about the form, that combination of the embodied and the communal together, and that we're sharing that in a live present in the audience as well. Yes, so the audience has an embodied experience as well.
Well, let's take a call now. Matt is joining us from Johnson Creek. Hi, Matt.
Hello. So first of all, I'd like to point out that a knowledge of theater won Ken Jennings $1 million. But beyond that, I think that engagement in theater, specifically in high school, that includes speech and forensics and one act, kind of helps with that public speaking. And I think some of the more successful people I've known have been able to deliver their ideas and are effective in speaking in front of groups. And that's how you can get ahead in life.
Matt, did you do theater or forensics public speaking as a kid in high school and middle school?
I did all kinds, and specifically forensics. You know, when you talk about extemporaneous speaking and storytelling, and these are things that allow you to be able to communicate, like your guest said, but there's multiple ways to communicate, be it business or, you know, just in your daily life and if with other people. That's, I believe, how you're successful, getting your ideas across.
Matt, thanks so much for the call. And, Matt sees a real leg up when it comes to public speaking, learn through theater.
Well, there are certainly very practical skills. I completely agree with Matt. And when I'm teaching students who are pursuing a business degree or indeed a degree in medicine or sciences, as he says, there are direct skills that one learns not only in public speaking, but also in framing an argument basic ideas of storytelling, starting from one point and getting to another in order to persuade an audience of something. Those are very basic skills, which, as he says so rightly, transfer in a variety of different areas.
Let's explore the format for a moment. Why do you think audience members connect more with characters, people on stage, versus seeing the same plot in a movie?
Well, I think there's a unique power in being in literally in the same room, being in the present moment with other human beings. Certainly, there's huge power in watching a movie, and I and you know many folks who practice theater love going to movies as well. But there's something about being alert, awake, and in a shared moment of presence that has a unique capacity to engage our bodies, to engage a sense of connection, to engage our capacities for empathy with another human being, and not only with the actors on stage, but also with the audience members around us. And so there's this sense of a shared experience that's different from film because it's not happening in front of us with actors experiencing things in the moment.
Talking with Anne Shanahan, she's chair of the theater department at Purdue University. We're looking at this connection between live theater and learning. You can join in. Parents, do you take your kids to local plays and musicals? How do they respond? Are they in them? What do you think this does for their development? And kids, do you enjoy attending live theater? What's your favorite play? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. And, you know, we often in high school would read plays out loud rather than to ourselves. What does this do for students as far as comprehension, reading out loud?
Well, as opposed to other written forms, other forms of prose, literature, poetry, theater is meant, is drama, is meant to be read out loud, which is a form of embodiment. Your voice is in your body, and so you're experiencing the text through your voice, through your body, as it's meant to be expressed in interaction with another character or with directly with the audience. And so that's part of how it's part of its essential form. It's part of how it is. It's really only experience. You can study drama as a piece of literature, and folks do, notably with playwrights like Shakespeare, where it's got poetic qualities. But that poetry is really only fully realized when it's read out loud and vocalized. Its qualities aren't even fully expressed on the page. They happen when they're spoken out loud.
Mm. I want to ask you about the rise of Hamilton over the last 5 years. I can't believe it's been this long, the popular musical. How do you think telling stories in this really creative light affects our comprehension? What do you see out of Hamilton?
Well, I think it's a profound example of the power of theater to move the world forward, to advance our social discourse, to radically alter our social discourse. Being able to have actors portray this history that contains a certain bias, to be able to break that open and have that embodied by a diverse set of actors embodying these characters differently literally breaks open the history so that we can consider the history differently and we can share it in unique ways that were not open prior to something like Hamilton.
Well, it might have been also a big breakthrough for gender and ethnicity that has not been customarily represented on stage. How big of an issue do you see is this as a deterrent for audiences who don't see themselves on stage?
I think that those historic biases on the basis of race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality have persisted for so long that we're at this really important point of, I would even call it, revolution, where theater artists and audiences are using the art form to break those things open so that we're experiencing stories that we that culturally were not at the forefront of our dialogue, and it's enriching everyone. Mm. It's providing opportunities for folks to tell their stories, to see their stories on stage, and to see other stories on stage that that haven't been part of the wider discourse. I think it's hugely profound and revolutionary, and it has a lot to do with the power of theater. Theater, I think, is at the forefront of a cultural dialogue.
Let's take a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I just want to put a plug in for parents. Take your kids to live theater. My brother and I were taken all over southern Wisconsin. We got hooked very, very young. Perform on stage in junior high, middle school, high school, and into our adulthood. Just the lifelong nature of being able to perform and share the art form with audiences. I mean, you don't see many 70-year-old football players, but by gosh, I've been on stage with 70-year-olds and just still love it.
What's your favorite play, Kevin? What was your favorite production?
Oh, my goodness.
Or is that like picking a favorite
child? How do you
pick
your favorite child? Exactly. Each production has its own pluses and minuses. The live action back and forth with the audience, you just never know what's going to happen. The energy that feeds back and forth, it's truly a natural high, and I'm addicted.
Oh, Kevin, thank you so much for sharing that. We're looking at the impact of the arts and theater. Anne Shanahan is our guide. She chairs the Department of Theater at Purdue University. You can join in with your experiences. Do you participate in community theater productions where you live? What do you hope the audience gains from your theater group on stage? Where do you think live theater in Wisconsin is falling short right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Anne Shanahan right here on the Ideas Network. Research finds that students benefit from school field trips to see live theater. We're looking at the cognitive impact of live arts here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So in one study, researchers at the University of Arkansas found measurably higher levels of tolerance and stronger command of the plot and vocabulary when seeing a play versus watching the same work in movie form. So mode of delivery mattered, not just the content. Do you recall your favorite high school play you were part of? Did you see live theater at the holidays? What did you see? What sticks with you as your most memorable theater production? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. The head of Purdue University's theater department, Anne Shanahan, stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Sarah joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was just calling because theater has been a big part of my life and my children's life. We've been very involved with our local community theater, children's theater in Eau Claire. I started doing plays with my daughter, who is now 19, when she was around 10. And I was in Mary Poppins with her 5 years ago. And then now I've just been cast along with my 12-year-old to do Mary Poppins again in March.
Oh, wow. And, things really come around.
Yes. I was also an Annie with both of my girls two different times. So, and I just really feel that theater has helped shape my kids. It's made them more confident. It's made them know how to problem solve and work as a team. And then also as far as going to live theater, I feel like there's benefits to kids being able to see that art and then also perform as well. And it uses different parts of a child's brain, so it's just beneficial for everyone.
Sarah, thank you so much. Anne, it sounds like this has been a real bonding experience for Sarah and her kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to Sarah's experience and thinking about how that much that resonates with mine and the students that I teach and my colleagues, that once one is experiences the power of theater, it really becomes a vital part of one's life, and many folks start as Sarah's kids did at a young age. I love her references to that confidence building and that problem solving and working as a group, in addition to what she referenced about using different parts of the brain, that using our body and experiencing things in a shared present moment with other human beings actually affects our brain in different ways and allows us to process information differently.
And it's interesting to me that it's one thing for the kid to be on stage and the parent to be in the audience, but, you know, Sarah's up there too with her mm-hmm. kid, and that seems to be also a very supportive atmosphere.
Well, one of the things that the previous caller commented on was the 70-year-old on stage, that it, you know, to your points about Hamilton, it's a profoundly and deeply inclusive experience that allows for an entire community to come together. And we're trying to look at ways to examine how we can get even better about that by creating ever more accessible experiences, certainly as we've talked about on the level of race and gender, ethnicity, but in terms of modes of perception and accessibility for greater and greater audiences and also for actors, so that we're thinking differently about what kinds of provisions are happening on stage for actors of all sorts of different abilities.
Let's bring in Julie now in Appleton. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling today to encourage people to not only go to like nationally well-known acts or like the PAC in Appleton, but also to don't forget to support the local high school plays. I recently went to Denmark and saw Mamma Mia here a couple months ago and was blown away by what these young people are able to do.
And Julie, so, I assume that the high school play was right in your neighborhood, right in your community.
Well, close by. It was in Denmark. I went to support one of my colleagues' kids that were in it.
Oh, my goodness. And so you went all the way to Denmark to see the play.
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
And the kids did such a fabulous job. And, again, sometimes we only hear the negative things about young people, unfortunately. And getting to come and see these group of diverse students come together, and the friendships that I have heard that have been made between the high school kids and some of the middle schoolers are fantastic. And I can only assume that going out into like plays in college, I was in a play in college, and you get to interact with intergenerations and the relationships that can be developed that way.
Julie, thank you so much for that. And, you know, theater can take you places around the world.
Absolutely. And it's got that universal capacity for communication. I'm just thinking about something, you know, as we're thinking about the power of theater for young students as well as high school age students. You know, I'm thinking about in the 60s when film and television were really making their heyday and were becoming ever more available in every household. There was a television set. You know, we began to question, is theater a dead art form? Is it dying, and is it better achieved through film or television? And instead, I think what we're seeing, and I'm particularly thinking about it with high school age and students who are starting college, which is, of course, where I am, is that what we're seeing is ever more the need for the in-the-moment interaction that's not in front of a screen, that's not in front of a computer, that's not in front of our phones, but is actually in that present moment involving folks' bodies, that there's documented increased rates of depression and anxiety in this generation of students. And I really think we're going to start to be able to see how that live interaction and that working in a community that theater provides has an impact on that, not only in learning, but also in larger issues of mental health and happiness.
We're talking with Purdue University's Ann Shanahan, who chairs the theater department there, and we're looking at this intersection of live theater and learning. Let's take another call now. Sharon is in Minocqua. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, this is such a great program, another great morning program. I live in Wisconsin now, but I used to live in Hawaii and worked on a theatrical company which did educational productions around natural history themes and concepts. And my comment really is about how theater engages so many of the arts, not just the performance art. They're, especially in educational settings, there's so much that goes into the designing the backgrounds and the costumes and even coming up with the sets and being creative. I love what the previous caller was talking about, too. And because there's kind of a magic about seeing it live, you know, perform live with movies and television, that a lot of the stuff happens in the background that we never see, but on the stage, everything is right in front of everyone. And so you have to be very creative as to how you're creating your production and how you're, you know, actually directing it. So I'll listen to the comments off of the air.
Oh, Sharon, yeah, thank you so much. Creativity takes so many forms on stage, Anne.
Mm-hmm. I love that comment, and it's so much of why I love the arts and why I chose theater, because it's this, I call it the perfect art. It's this combined form. It combines the visual. It combines music often, even in the speech, that's a sort of movement or a sort of music. It combines obviously the literature that we've talked about. So it's this sort of total art form. Not only a combination of arts, but also you can study anthropology, sociology, as we've mentioned with Hamilton, history, certainly English. It really allows for one to combine as many interests as one has and find a way to creatively communicate them.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
It's really been my pleasure, Kate. The calls have been great, and this has been an honor.
Anne Shanahan is chair of the Department of Theater at Purdue University. She's an associate professor of theater. Just ahead, we examine privacy laws in the age of commercial genetic testing. A UW genetics professor and a legislative analyst break down their latest research. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.